You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
So, Michael.
Yes.
We were having a chat about some New Zealand delegates were being rejected from entering West Papua.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
So, quite a few delegates from multiple countries had their requests to visit West Papua on a kind of fact-finding mission to observe and assess the conflict and the human rights violations were rejected. And the Australian newspapers, the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, they broke a story that the a spokesperson from the New Zealand Embassy confirmed that they had requested and been subsequently refused under the argument from Indonesia that there were security issues, which is kind of legitimate, but it's just another case of hush hush, yeah, keeping it all quiet.
Has anyone from any other countries other than Indonesia, delegates, I mean, been able to enter West Papua?
Not as far as I know, not in, since the recent unrest started, you know, the last month or so. So the other countries were Canada and the UK, well, the Great Britain, both requested to send diplomats there to try and, you know, suss it out and see what was going on. Just a very honest and innocent kind of, go and check out what's happening, but they were refused as well. Australia and the US did not request because they, thought it would cause a diplomatic headache. Typical.
Yeah.
I, for one, am shocked that Australia did that. Very unlike them.
Wow, I'm so surprised that Australia did that. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, you can't really expect
so
much from them.
Basically, all the information we're getting is just from people who are there now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must make it hard to kind of report on.
Definitely. Domestic journos as well that are there covering and providing broken information. But it needs to be, there needs to be that kind of witness at the diplomatic level or the government level, because Indonesia has rejected consistently the United Nations Office of the Human Rights High Commission to attend, to go into West Papua and see what's going on, even though they were invited last year. So Joko Widodo said, yeah, we'll get the UN here, we've got nothing to hide. But the UN have actively campaigned to get into West Papua, but they haven't been successful. And the High Commissioner of the Human Rights Office has said the talks have stalled. So it's going nowhere fast.
Oh, we'll have to see what happens with that one.
Yeah, but it's quite good that New Zealand is actually send people there. You know, that's, I mean, they were discreet about it, but that's more than what Australia and the US are doing, trying to get some diplomats there to help the situation, because, yeah, that's like you say, it's a start, right?
Yeah, would Indonesia be more, I guess, willing to accept delegates from New Zealand compared to places such as US or Australia?
I don't think so. I think they would be more inclined to accept delegates from their staunch allies than the ones that shut their mouths and and play along, rather than the countries that maybe are going to find something untoward and have something to say about it. Not that New Zealand would do that kind of thing, but perhaps Canada or one of the more the countries that don't have such a vested interest in Indonesian economic interests, shall we say. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than what's happening in West Papua, what else has been happening?
Well, a kind of segue into another Indonesia-type story.
A good segue, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I mentioned last week or the week before that Indonesian government had kind of launched a online propaganda campaign against the West Papuan movement to seeking to undermine it by having, fake bots on Twitter and a very, very sophisticated network of bots that could share these stories that were often shared more than actual official news stories about issues themselves. So
I know leading up to the 2019 election and the last election run as well, there were a lot of concerns and fears about Twitter bots or fake news and
exactly.
that kind of implication. So I guess it's affecting West Papua now as well?
Yes, yeah. It's undermining the West Papuan independence movement because the type of articles that, you know, they're all propaganda pieces that they're fake news essentially. But what happened was Facebook went and found over 100, maybe actually 300 fake accounts that were very, very effective at spreading this information, and they removed all of them across Facebook and Instagram. They found they weren't just Indonesian fake accounts, there are also ones from Papua itself, so it's on both sides of the conflict that this propaganda war is happening. And they said they weren't deleting the accounts because of the identity, it was just because of the behavior. Like they realized that they were fake. You know a fake account when you see one, right? But these particular accounts had been able to share hundreds and hundreds of stories that, you know, so many degrees of separation throughout the network. So those were removed. There were also ones from Saudi Arabia and Egypt, I think, accounts from there. So it was a big network-wide purge that Facebook was conducting, finding these fake accounts. But yeah, and it found that the Indonesian ones, the journalists who wrote the story found that the accounts in Indonesia were driven by this PR firm coming out of Jakarta.
Whoa.
So it's a very corporate-driven campaign, which is
so. Do we think funky. There was government involvement?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Without saying there definitely is, maybe.
I think so, but certainly, corporate interests driving this campaign. It's all very. Very strange.
What's in it for the corporate, I guess a PR firm pushing it, like what's in it for them that they want?
Oh, well, West Papua has huge economic and strategic value for so many companies. It has an abundance of natural resources. It's got incredible, forests and mining resources, agriculture. So it's a golden egg, essentially. And that's kind of might be why so many countries around the world who are allied with Indonesia don't want to sacrifice compromise what's happening in West Papua, because it is going to be very, very valuable economically moving forward. So,
Great. Anything else going on in the Pacific?
Yeah, one other thing.
Hey.
Yeah, so much West Papua stuff, I know.
It's always good.
Yeah, a Filipino human rights lawyer came away uninjured after being an assassination attempt.
Oh,
because last week we were talking about Veronica Coman, so
yes.
We've got another. Yeah, okay,
yes.
Tell us about what's happening in the Philippines.
Okay, really quickly. So this woman's from, she's a human rights lawyer and she works on the island of Panay in the Philippines, and she basically works pro bono for human rights interests, for farmers that are being, taken advantage of by companies and whatnot. And she does good work, essentially, for free. So she was driving along with her daughter and these gunmen came alongside with guns and shot the car, and was a big...
So that was... It was
Yeah, totally.
They weren't subtle about it.
No, they weren't subtle about it. But she survived, and then she talked to journalists and said... she'd actually been red flagged, which means that the government kind of effectively puts a hit on her head prior to the assassination attempt. She knew about this. She had found out from a source. And this has happened quite a few times. Human rights lawyers and journalists have been red flagged, and then days later they've been attacked and most of them have been killed.
And they've been red flagged by the government and then they...
From the military yeah, which kind of acts with impunity in parts of the Philippines. And especially if they find that they're being... imposed on in some way, which I guess they did in this case. But yeah, so that takes the total number of journalists that have been killed or attacked under the Duterte government, not journalists, human rights and journalists, to over 50.
That's a decent amount.
Mm.
Yeah.
Has she said anything about what she'll do next?
No, I guess she's just laying low, but she's talking about it. She's not being quiet about it, so she's trying to get as much, I guess, get it out there and get people knowing that she's kind of under fire, so to speak. But yeah, just speaking about that, Duterte, under the Duterte regime, they also have a crazy system of fake news and bots and fake profiles targeting journalists and human rights lawyers as well. So it's not just isolated to Indonesia. It's, you know, it's a region-wide phenomenon.
Would you say, I guess, in Southeast Asia, there is a lot of there's a growth in fake news? Or
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, because it's entirely unregulated, right? Mm. I mean, social media is just like the Wild Wild West. And these companies that are finding themselves with the resources to carry out this kind of programming and this kind of software to create these systems and create these, you know, campaigns without having the regulation to mitigate it. So yeah. It's definitely a growing phenomenon. Yeah. Well, lastly, I will just say there's an event this Friday called the Pacific Futures, and it's held at the Novotel in Auckland. And it is Winston Peters is going to be giving the keynote speech, but also diplomats and academics from across the Pacific are going to be there. And it's likely to it's going to feature regional security, but it's going to talk a lot about the growing rise of the rise of China in the region, climate change, and also foreign minister from Vanuatu has said he's going to raise the issue of West Papua. So it will be an interesting conference for your listeners if they're able to get down there. Friday the 18th. So, yeah, it's an all-day event.
All day, okay. Awesome. I'm going to head along to it.
Thanks so much, Michael.
You can read all the Pacific Media Centre updates at pmc.aut.ac.nz and asiapacificreport.nz.
That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.